From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the second day of November 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Matt Bennett. He's at Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds, out of Windsor, Illinois. A bit later in the program, we'll check in on the agricultural cash grain markets with the folks at the Andersons at the Climbers facility outside of Logansport, Indiana. They produce ethanol there. And as we close out our time together, we'll discuss the weather forecast with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Along the way, I'll check in on the agricultural news. Actually, just go Cubs go. You'll want to listen to that one. And we'll also hear from Daryl Good about prospects for $4 corn on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. It is the second day of November 2016. We're now joined by Matt Bennett. He's at Bennett Consulting and Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, to take a look at the marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Matt. Thanks for being with me.
Yep, thanks for having me, Todd.
Now, this has been a rough couple of days for the soybeans. Why has that been the case in the futures market?
You know, I thought it was kind of interesting yesterday. One of the wires I read over the noon hour said that the beans market was trading lower on talk of a big crop for 2016. I thought, man, where have these guys been? We've been talking big crop for quite a while. I mean, you know, biggest acreage we've seen for the beans. You know, come in here with record acreage and then have a yield that is safely a record yield. And we've done that for some time. So, you know, I think that there's several different things going on. I think in the last six trading sessions, we've seen the crude oil market dip $6. And I think that that's had a little bit of an effect or a decent effect upon our grain markets at the same time, as it usually does. So there's a lot of things at play here. I think, dollar's a little bit lower today, but yet we still saw corn and beans actually struggle, whereas wheat was able to actually rally a little bit. So, a lot of things at play here, but I do think that the crude oil market has a fair amount of impact here lately.
Many farmers have completed their harvest. They've locked the bin door. Should they be satisfied with that move?
You know, we were talking about that late in the week last week. We called several of our guys and just said, hey, you know, as far as this rally's gone, you know, at one time we had soybeans 80 cents off their low for the month of October, and we're kind of looking at this saying, would you ever have expected to get this sort of a rally whenever we're cutting these kind of beans? And so to me, it all comes down to dollars and cents. And I've had producers call me and say, you know, that, hey, they had some good contracts. And the problem that they have is that they run out of contracts. You know, and I'm like, well, what are your beans making? Oh, you know, we're going to average 74 or 5 for the whole farm. And I'm kind of wondering what their problem is, you know, because if they had a few contracts at $10 or I know a lot of these guys sold beans at $10.50 and $11, regardless, even if they sold them all at today's price at 74 or 5 bushel beans, I'm pretty sure they're going to do okay.
All right. So your opinion is that they probably ought to go ahead and move the beans, take advantage of current prices, despite the fact they're off their highs at the moment. What about for corn?
You know, I think with the corn market, you know, you're looking at a similar situation. It seems like here recently, at least, the corn market's been kind of a follower of the soybean market. And so, you know, if the soybean market turns back around south, you know, corn's had a really hard time being able to hold its head above water. And so with us talking about South America bringing to the table a fair amount more corn acres this year, both in Brazil and Argentina, I think kind of keeps a little bit of a lid on prices. I know people on the bullish side of the equation have said, well, we're going to plant less corn acres in the U.S. next year. But, you know, if we end up with a 2.25 or 2.3 carryout, considering, maybe a little bit of a dip in yield again from the USDA, you know, it's still an ample carryout. And so, you know, I hate to be bearish by any means, but I think the thing that we've encouraged our producers to look at is, you know, what is your total income, net income, when looking at both corn and soybeans. And I know a lot of producers are saying on corn, they sure can't seem to find a lot of black ink just yet. But there's a whole lot of black ink whenever it comes to soybeans. So we need to be looking at the total farm equation. And if we're okay with that, at the very least, we need to be locking in what our profitability is as a total farm goes. And, you know, if you want to keep a little bit upside open, there's a lot of things you can do on a limited risk basis. But I sure don't want to let this get too far away from us.
Monday, Daryl Good wrote in the Weekly Outlook that the prospects for $4 corn, and we'll hear this from him in just a few minutes here on the Closing Market Report, didn't look all that great, that ethanol already had another 100 million bushels built into its supply and demand table. He wasn't sure that exports would increase any more than they already have, and not all that hip on the idea that the livestock sector would chew through much more in the way of corn. Do you have any other thoughts on what usage might look like?
You know, whenever I think about usage, I definitely like to look towards what Daryl has to say about usage, because he's about as good as they come. But I couldn't agree a whole lot more. I mean, whenever you look at demand for both corn and beans, the USDA has been pretty aggressive. I think, you know, you're asking about corn, but it's been pretty funny to me to see just how aggressive they've been. You know, I think on beans, they don't want to come up with the same situation I've had the last several years, where they way overestimate what the carryout's going to be. But you know, when you're looking at corn, you know, yes, we've got plenty of mouths to feed as far as the livestock equation goes. They've been pretty aggressive on exports, and we have to be cautious, because if South America's going to harvest as much corn as what they think they may, if they have decent weather at all, then they're definitely going to be in this world market. And our exports probably will have a hard time in the second half of the marketing year being anywhere near what they were a year ago, you know, because we had really good corn exports in the second half of the marketing year. And so, you know, I think we've got to keep an eye on these things. $4 corn seems like a great thing to hope for. Obviously, this rally kind of made people think this was looking a lot like 2014. But I think it was just kind of the outset. You know, we definitely had a rally going. But we have to, again, I mean, it has to be based upon profitability. And you know, if we can ask for $4 corn, but if we're going to be able to make money at whatever the price might be, I mean, considering how basis has been this year in a big crop, you know, we've got a lot of good things going for us. And I don't want to get too hung up on any numbers, because I would agree with Daryl that $4 corn does not look very likely at this point.
And finally, the winter meeting season is about to kick off. You and I will both be next week at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City. Looking forward to seeing you there. What else is on your list in November? Anything?
You know, I've got several smaller things locally, and then in December, I'm actually quite busy. I'm actually going to speak at the Executive Women in Agriculture. Why they've got me there, I have no idea, but they asked me to do a lunch and learn for that particular conference. But you know, once I get into December, the next few months, I won't have very many days where I'm going to be home the whole week. And I don't know that I'll have any, but you know how it goes.
Yeah, I do. We'll look forward to talking to you from each of those sites on Thursday afternoon, and we'll talk with you again tomorrow.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That, of course, is Matt Bennett. He's at Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. Quick reminder, visit our website, willag.org. Tickets are on sale for the Farm Assets Conference. Time now to go ahead and buy those. Don't waste your time anymore. I'd like to get that all sewed up so you can start purchasing those. FarmAssetsConference.com. They're just $30. The event is in Normal, Illinois on the 22nd. All the details are right there online. In today's news, the Cubs may very well win the World Series tonight, and that's a big deal in my family, despite the fact that my five brothers and myself and my departed father were all Cardinals fans. Dad's Uncle Rupert, my great uncle, played not with the Cardinals, but with the Boston Braves. That's right, with the Boston Braves when they were still in Boston and not in Atlanta. And Uncle Rupert Thompson took Babe Ruth's place in the outfield when he came out of his last game. Now, the important part today is that my Uncle Robert, who's 96 years old, has been a Cub fan all of his life. Well, Uncle Robert is looking forward to tonight, and I thought, you know, I'm going to call him today and just check in on him and see how he's doing.
Good, pretty good.
How are your Cubbies doing?
They're doing great.
You've been waiting a long time. This could be it tonight. Where will you go watch it at home or where?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to get in there and get comfortable.
How you been doing, Robert?
Real good.
Yeah, I just, you know, I was thinking, I thought about calling you last week after the Cubs made it to the series, and I just never got around to it. And I thought, you know, I'm going to call him before it's over with, because expectation is so much fun.
Yeah. Well, Larry called, and so did Robbie. Not you, so half of you called.
Well, we, you know, as Cardinals fans, we all like to support you guys in the Cubs side every now and then, I guess.
That's what they both said. The Cardinals are out of it, so they're rooting for the Cubs.
You bet. So, let's see. I was trying to think. How old are you now?
I will be the 13th. I'll be 96.
96 years old.
Yeah.
You've been waiting your whole life, right?
Yeah. When the last time they played in the World Series, I got home from the Army. There was the 8th, I believe it was. I got home the 8th, and I think they was playing the 10th. That was the last game.
Oh, wow. Well, they're going to do it this year, I think.
I think they got a good chance, and I'll tell you why. I predicted last night's game, because that guy was pitching on short rest. The guy tonight has pitched 2 games in this last series here. This will be his 3rd game in 7. So I think he's got to be a little bit tired.
Yeah. Well, I think we're all excited.
I'd like to see him do it. You know, they got a good team. And 4 of those guys that played last night are under 24 years old. Thank you, Dad.
Good luck with them.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye, Robert.
Bye.
That's my Uncle Robert. He'll be rooting for the Cubs to win the World Series tonight. Just one little item. He always had rubber-soled shoes because he was around electricity a lot. And he'd line the 6 of us up, my 5 brothers and myself, put us in a chain, and he'd grab a piece of foxtail, and then he'd lay that foxtail down on the old electric fence to keep those cows in. And, you know, that fence just zaps you. Zap, zap, zap. He'd lay that piece of grass down, and just before he got there, he'd say, "Now, don't let go." And, of course, bing, 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 bing. And every time, the last guy on the chain, he got hit. Oh, my gosh, we had so much fun. For his sake, I really hope the Cubs do it tonight. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Well, the odds are against $4 cash corn this year and next, at least for any extended period of time. The monthly average cash price paid to farmers in the United States for their corn has been less than $4 a bushel for 27 consecutive months. It's likely to stay that way well into 2017, too, says University of Illinois agricultural economist Darryl Good. Unless something changes.
Some combination of a reduction in supplies or increase in consumption will be required in order for prices to move back above $4 for an extended period of time.
On the supply side, or how much corn is around, USDA's next crop production report is due November the 9th. It will contain a new forecast of the size of the 2016 U.S. corn crop. Now, previous history of yield forecast changes in November in years in which the forecast declined in September and again in October, as was the case this year, says Darryl Good, show very mixed results, with 5 moving lower, 1 unchanged, and 4 of the 10 getting bigger. The trade is leaning toward a smaller corn yield this time around. So not a lot of supply-side help expected from the USDA reports on this fall's crop. That makes the Southern Hemisphere pivotal, says Darryl Good.
Brazilian production declined sharply in 2016, and early season USDA projections are for production to rebound to near the level of 2015 during the year ahead. In addition, Argentina is expected to expand corn area due to reductions in export taxes.
Well, it's too early in the South American growing season to assess yield potential, but production well below early projections would be required to push corn prices higher, says Good, in his weekly outlook on the FarmDoc Daily website. He also thinks a more likely source of reduction in corn supply may be reduced corn acreage in the United States next year.
Assuming that acreage declines by 3 million acres, and consumption during the 2017 marketing year is near the 14.5 billion bushels projected for this year, then the 2017 average yield would need to be below 173 bushels in order for year-ending stocks to be reduced. Under these acreage and consumption forecasts, a yield near trend value of 169 bushels would result in year-ending stocks declining by about 350 million bushels.
There are a lot of supply-side ifs in that statement, so maybe demand for corn could be the key to higher prices. The good news here is that U.S. corn exports are up, but that's based upon last year's poor corn crop out of Brazil. It doesn't appear feed usage will increase either, thanks good, and while the ethanol grind has been increasing, USDA has already penciled in an extra 100 million bushels of usage. So it appears unlikely, thinks Darrell Good, that higher corn prices will be generated by a large reduction in the estimated size of the 2016 U.S. crop or stronger than projected demand for that corn. That leaves a smaller than expected South American crop or a much smaller U.S. crop in 2017 as the potential sources of higher prices. Now, if South American production increases as projected, a large decline in U.S. acreage and or a 2017 yield below value may be required to push the average price of corn above $4 during the 2017-18 marketing year. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon, the second day of November. We're joined by Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Tell me about the weather forecast here in the Midwest and across the United States.
Well, you know, the Midwest is looking pretty good. We're moving right along with that harvest. We do see two waves of rain coming up here over the next 7 days. One is underway now. We'll be with us as we go through the day tomorrow, and then we'll take a little break, and we'll bring back a second wave of precipitation to the region. It will probably start sometime around Monday afternoon and continuing into Tuesday night. And we'll likely see just light amounts of rainfall with both events. If we put them together, we'll end up with moisture totals running anywhere from, we'll say a quarter to three quarters of an inch, and maybe some localized totals getting over an inch. So a little disruption to farming activity will occur in that corridor, which is going to be mostly from Missouri and southeastern Iowa over to Michigan and parts of Ohio. Everybody to the north and south of that corridor probably won't get enough moisture really to make much difference, and fieldwork will continue to move along fairly well. The other issue in the U.S. is the big rain event that's advertised in the Southwest Plains. This is supposed to get underway here pretty quickly here overnight tonight and tomorrow. We'll see some showers and thunderstorms in central and west Texas. But there's like two or three different waves of energy that come through that area. And so between now and this time next week, we'll end up with rain totals of 1 to 3 inches in parts of west Texas. Now, they produce a lot of cotton there. That's not real good for that crop. But otherwise, it's probably not going to have much impact on grain and oil seeds. Some of the winter wheat in the Southwest Plains will certainly benefit from that moisture. So not a bad scenario from a wheat perspective, but a terrible situation for cotton.
It's been dry in the Great Plains. No relief there yet?
The west central parts of the plains, western Kansas and eastern Colorado and portions of Nebraska, are definitely still hurting. And this particular storm system will bring one wave of rain through that region, and that is supposed to occur over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. And if it occurs as advertised, we'll see partial relief. The southwest corner of Kansas will do best, and that happens to be the driest of the area that is dry. And they may pick up a half inch to an inch of rain. That would be wonderful for that particular area. The rest of Kansas and Colorado and Nebraska, though, probably won't get enough to really make much difference to the overall dry pattern.
I think that they had stalled the harvest progress in China last week for a bit because of rainfall. Have they begun to be able to move again yet?
Well, they're moving in the right direction as far as the weather trend is concerned. It is no longer raining. I think our last bout of rain was Sunday into Monday. So it hasn't been dry enough for a long enough period of time for aggressive field work to resume, but we're not far away from it. It's a lot warmer in China than it is in some other places around the world, and so they are going to dry down fairly quickly. There's only one rain event coming up in the next week. That's Sunday and Monday, a little minor setback in the drying trend. Otherwise, all of next week or the rest of next week will certainly be dry, so they should be at it pretty much full tilt by the time we get to this point next week.
And finally, the farmers in South America appear to be moving quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. Some record planting pace is underway in parts of Brazil. It's been a really good spring so far, and I don't see anything coming up that's really going to have a serious negative impact, and they both should see some good progress.
Hey, thanks, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.